Hi, it's Kiffin Lobates here, and today's video is all about the metaverse, or metaverses. Maybe there are more than one. Actually, today I am going to define what a metaverse is, and the reason why I can do that is because I happen to be holding a metaverse in my hand. Yes, I know some of you are looking at that and thinking, that's not a metaverse, Kier, that's a banana. But I assure you, it is a metaverse, and I will explain why. So to begin with, it's three-dimensional. Look, right? You can see it's not flat, it's not text, it's three-dimensional, and it's virtual, because by the time you watch this video, this physical banana will no longer exist. It will only exist in the bits and bytes of hard drives around the world being delivered to you by YouTube or other video servers. So it's a virtual three-dimensional thing. So that ticks the first box. The second thing is that we require multiple people to be involved in this metaverse, and they are. There are multiple people watching this video at this very moment. In fact, if this video were to go viral at any given point in time, there might be several people interacting with watching the video. Aha, you've caught me out. Interacting? Videos are passive. You're not interacting with them at all. Well, I have something to say to you here, which is you can interact with this video. All of you watching, make a decision now. Do you want the banana to move to the left, that is my left, or to the right? 1, 2, 3. You've decided right. Well, I personally would have decided left, but you know, majority rules and all of that. But what about the problem that this banana is not immersive? Well, just look at this banana. Listen as I count down from 5, 4, 3, you're feeling sleepy, 2, 1, you are fully immersed in the banana. Now wake up. So you see, we're already ticking many of the boxes, but of course, this is not a metaverse. This is a banana. So what's missing? Well, what's missing from that banana is what's missing from a lot of the projects that are out there described as metaverses. And one of the parties who are particularly guilty of this, I think, are the company Meta, who have actually renamed themselves in order to brand themselves as a metaverse company. And the problem there is that if you go back to the roots of it all, and Neil Stephenson's book Snow Crash, yes, there's all this stuff about VR, which Mark Zuckerberg seems to be incredibly keen on, and virtual reality and multiple people interacting with each other and getting immersed in it, although quite frankly I can get equally immersed in a good discussion thread on LinkedIn or Reddit. But there's something at the core that is missing, and that is actually, it's two things. There's an internal economy, and then there's a sense of personal identity that you have control over. So some people might refer to that as self-sovereign identity. Again, that term has a few problems associated with it, but those two things are missing in the banana. And those two things are missing in a lot of the projects out there that call themselves metaverse projects. And you can see that if you don't have these things, your metaverse is no better than my banana. And let's dig into those things a bit more. So the first one is this idea of ownership and some kind of stake in what is going on. Now, if you take something like a three-dimensional game like Fortnite or Grand Theft Auto or World of Warcraft or something like that, you may feel that you possess things, the skins that you've collected, the artifacts that you've managed to win from monsters, stuff like that. But the fact is, they're all under the complete control of the game. And if the people running the game servers decide that they have taken a dislike to you, they can ban your account, and they can effectively seize your property, because you never really had it in the first place. It's just in a database under their control. And this is one of the things that blockchain brings to the table when it comes to metaverses, which is it allows you to actually create digital assets that are truly owned by the individual people who supposedly own them. Whereas in these games and these metaverses put forward by large tech giants, you are not truly going to own these things. They are still ultimately going to be under the control of the company, because it's in their DNA. They can't let go of that control. It's the way they view the world. And you see this in, for example, the platform fees that Meta is proposing for stuff that you create in their metaverse. They're charging 47.5%. Now, people who are familiar with NFT projects are going to think that's just ridiculous, because the going platform rate at the moment is about 2.5%. Of course, in the traditional world for creatives, the platform fee, as it were, is more like 90%. Artists typically get about 10% if you're looking at things such as the music industry or the publishing industry. So I'm suspecting that Meta split the difference. They thought, well, we're going to be halfway between 2.5% and 90%, and that's about 47.5%, give or take a few. So I guess that's where that number came from, but it's evidence that they can't let go of the way that they view the world, which is through the eyes of a Web2 centralized entity expecting to control things. So when you look at Neil Stephenson's metaverse, you'll see that the people in that metaverse own stuff. Now, the people who joined early on own better stuff, land closer to the center of things, more of the internal currency of that world than people who came along later. And we're seeing that play out in the blockchain world as well. It's unfortunate, but it seems to be unavoidable. The thing is that in Stephenson's metaverse, the individuals actually control their assets. So the main protagonist, who is called Hero Protagonist, actually has a plot of land in the center of Stephenson's metaverse that he owns because he happened to be one of the first people who went along there, and it can't be taken off him. In the meantime, he's living in a warehouse, in a storage locker in the real world. So in the real world, he's one step away from being a homeless bum, and in the metaverse, he's got prime real estate. The second thing is the one to do with your identity. And again, I'm not seeing the metaverse projects out there that are being proposed tackling that particularly well either. There's all this wonderful stuff about here are the avatars you can have, but they're all under the control of the platform. Meta trots out these avatars with no legs or these multiple rather creepy Mark Zuckerberg based avatars. I don't know how they've done it, but somehow they've managed to extend the uncanny valley from being a few meters wide to being a kilometer wide with those. But anyway, there's not much choice. You're not going to have much control. I guess that what you're allowed to do with avatars, how you're allowed to change them, is going to be under the strict control of Meta. So again, it's moving away from the idea of the individuals in such a world having the same kind of autonomy as they do in the real world. It's back to the control by central authorities. So that's kind of a ramble on metaverses. I hope you found it interesting, and if not interesting, then at least amusing. And I think we're going to be revisiting this topic about once every couple of months as more stuff comes out and this term, the metaverse, actually gets locked down more and more. I think there's something interesting behind it, but I think we're still a long way off the collective consciousness actually coming up with something that is meaningful and ultimately useful. But that's it for today. Hope you found it interesting, and I'll see you in the next video soon. Bye for now.